Welcome to the Team Building Show for Canadians, the podcast where we build the future, starting today. High-level conversations, real estate strategies, tips and experiences from the top team leaders on real estate in Canada. We don't dream about success. We build it together. Starting now, the Team Building Show for Canadians.
Welcome back to another episode of the Team Building Show for Canadians. Welcome, Sandy. How are you?
Thanks. Amazing. You?
Amazing. I know you had a long drive here today.
Depends how you look at it. It was a fun drive. So I got stuff done, had some good phone calls, made some videos as I was watching the road, not the video camera. And came up with a couple of pieces of things to utilize. So it was a productive drive, actually.
Awesome. Well, super excited to sit here with you. I know we haven't chatted too much this week, but got lots to talk about today. Definitely something that's on both of our minds right now as we keep building our organizations, keep looking to hire and attract the right individuals. So today we're going to be focusing on hiring, attraction, and retention.
Yeah. Awesome. Exciting stuff.
Very exciting. I mean, that's something that we've been really focused on for the last 5-6 years and something that we really push towards with the people that we get into business with. So why don't we start with just finding talent? Well, first of all, what is talent? We've talked a bit about this.
Well, I was looking around at your office if you have it here.
I don't have it here.
Okay.
I usually do.
We got that chart that says this. How to identify talent, right? Mm-hmm. What are the two columns? There's
talent and non-talent.
What talent looks like. Yeah. Talent, non-talent. Well, first of all, even before that, I mean, finding great talent is basically the key to building any business. It's like, basically, I guess after you cast a good vision and you have a good, clear vision for what it's going to look like and you've attracted someone into some sort of conversation, I mean, finding that person, getting them aligned with the vision, getting them excited about it, hiring them, retaining them, leading them is basically the recipe for growing a business because... Mm-hmm. If you're growing a business, that means you're going to build it through other people, not through yourself. And that requires that you hire great people to create a great company. Mm-hmm. So it can't be understated how important it is. And so that talent versus non-talent, having a lot of untalented people is definitely not the recipe for a great business. Having a great group of talented people is a great way to start. And I often talk... around the salesperson side of it, if you're hiring salespeople, is it's extremely hard to develop salespeople. You can, but it's only like so much. Like most great salespeople are not developed, they're found. And so finding a great salesperson is a way, way better place to start from than bring someone on who you hope could be good, but they need to learn all these different things about being a salesperson. And mm-hmm. In my experience, the odds of that person developing into something good or great is very, very small. It's possible, but it's very, very small. And it's often not worth the risk in that. When you can just go search a little harder and find someone already great at sales and bring them into your environment, that's where you need that big, exciting vision to attract them.
Yeah, so I think the first step to get everybody on the same page here is figuring out what kind of person you want. Right? Like we talk about the missing persons report. So creating that ideal avatar of what kind of talent you want to bring into your world. And I look at talent in three categories. There's potential talent. So kind of like you said, somebody that you could potentially take a chance on that maybe could be successful, but you're not 100% sure. Then there's emerging talent. So somebody that has proven that, you know, they could be successful in a similar type of role or a similar industry. And then there's proven talent, someone that's actually done what you're looking to do with them, that has the track record of success and is obviously willing to show up. Now, I think with all three types of people, there's obviously different compensation structures. There's different expectations. So you have to decide, are you willing to take a chance on someone with the hope that they'll turn into what you need? Or do you want to find that proven talent?
I think inevitably people are going to gravitate towards potential talent or unproven at the beginning mm-hmm. because they're not going to have the belief in themselves and their business yet to attract an already proven talented person. And so I think there's at least an evolution of that as you go about it because right now, personally, I have a lot less appeal. I'm a lot less attracted to potential talent. Mm-hmm. Because I think I probably have a little more belief and confidence in what we're creating, what we've created. And I'm much more attracted to proven talent who I know is better than me and I know is going to do a better job than me in whatever area we're hiring. Mm-hmm. And I know it because they have the track record already. And it's to pay a little more for that is
always
the challenge,
a good payoff,
but it's way worth it to pay a little more for that because they're going to come in and have 100%+ better results than a potential talented person. The potential could turn into someone great, mm-hmm. and I think that's always the balance. But when you're early on in hiring and building a business, you gravitate towards that potential because it's less costly. There seems to be less risk,
which it's more entry level typically.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. can be true. I mean, you can't. If you don't have, you know, a bunch of money in the bank to afford a proven talent person, then there's always that risk reward you got to assess. Mm-hmm. And so I think you want to work towards attracting that proven talent, though, for sure, over time.
I think that in itself is a sometimes limiting belief for people because I've seen even in our own organizations that, you know, some of our agents are starting to hire their first admin. And some have gone like the potential talent side, but the ones that have gone the proven side and they're willing to either, you know, cast the vision to that individual. Maybe that person is signing up for an opportunity that they see that person willing to grow. And maybe they're not going to reap the benefits right away, but they see that there's potential and there's vision. So when you're looking at proven talent doesn't always necessarily look just for the money. They're also looking for the vision, the opportunity, what kind of career they can create for themselves in the long run.
For sure. If you have a strong enough, clear enough, exciting enough vision, you can attract anybody. Mm-hmm. Like literally anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. If it's exciting enough. That's why the vision and what you set up at the beginning is so important and have clear direction on where you're going. Less important is like the how you're going to get there, but the most important is where you're going. Is it an exciting destination that you're working towards? Because that's what, you know, proven talent, A players, that's what they want.
Well, I was reading an article, like one of the Harvard Business Reviews, and basically they were saying that they've done a lot of studies on this, like this generation, like the millennials, and a lot of them are way more attracted to the vision and the culture of an environment rather than the money. Mm-hmm. So they would be willing to work for 50, 60 grand in a great environment than making 100 grand in a toxic, no vision, cultural work environment.
Yeah. I've seen that for sure. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to start with the vision. You're never going to attract good talent without a clear vision. Great talent without a clear vision. Mm-hmm. It's just never going to happen. So that is just so important as a preface to hiring great people is to have that clear vision. And then it really, you know, we've hired a lot of people over the years that we thought were maybe good, but not great. And that has been one of our biggest failures, I would say, over time, is especially with salespeople, because there's quite a few around, and it's not that hard to go find a person that might want to join a team. Mm-hmm. And so it's simple enough to get into business with someone like that and take a chance on them. It's low risk. You often don't have to pay them anything. So it's just very simple to make those decisions. It can be a very, very poor decision to hire someone good or mediocre and bring them into a team where you're looking to grow a great environment that can be very cancerous. So we've certainly failed at that many times. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest lessons we've learned that took a long time to learn, but you really, really want to focus on hiring great people for those roles as well and bringing them in, because you have a few of those great people, all of a sudden you start attracting more great people.
100%.
If you have a few mediocre or not great people, you're going to attract mediocre and not great people as well. Mm-hmm. And that, why would you want to do that?
Yeah. I think too is like talking about the salesperson side, yeah, although there's maybe not as much risk or investment up front, the time investment tends to be a lot more because whether it's, you know, issues that arise, you know, that person might need extra training or support to get them up to the level or the standards that you guys are at. That ends up taking so much more time from people that could be talented or finding the right individuals.
Mm-hmm. There's a story that I love around, it's a story about Warren Buffett and Ben Graham. Ben Graham was the guy that Warren Buffett wanted to work for when he was younger. I think he was like a teenager, Warren Buffett. And he said, I want to come work for you for free with, I think it's Ben Graham is the name. I want to come work with you for free. You've heard this one, yeah? Mm-hmm. I want to come work with you for free. And here's what I'm going to do for you, all this stuff. And Ben's like, you're way too expensive. It's going to cost me way too much. And the abbreviated version of it is that he didn't want to hire him. Ultimately, Warren was able to find a way to get the job, but he didn't want to hire him because it was...
Ben's making more money per hour than he would be spending time with.
He knows his time, his value and the time. He values his time, right? So every hour that goes by, if it's worth whatever that's worth, $100 an hour, $500, $1,000 an hour. Let's say it's worth $1,000 an hour. If your time's worth $1,000 an hour and you're spending 5 hours a week with someone, then that's $5,000 out of your pocket. So that's before they even get paid anything. That's just time value, right? So if you're spending 5 hours a week with them, there's your $5,000 plus if you're paying them something.
Yeah.
And so you have to be getting a multiple return on that or else it's not worth it.
100%. Yeah. Well, maybe I know you said the how is not super important, but I do want to touch on like how to find talent for those that are listening that haven't hired or they're thinking about where to attract talent. Mm-hmm. I find for us, the biggest thing that has helped us attract the right people is, first of all, you know, pushing content, getting out there, events, also just asking our network, like asking people that we know that we're in business with that are like-minded, that are, you know, talent already, asking them who they know that we should be in business with. And that tends to be a really great place to find and attract the right people. Other places, obviously, like job sites, social media, email marketing. I look at hiring and finding talent the same way that I look at when I had my real estate business is I'm prospecting, but I'm not prospecting for buyers or sellers. I'm prospecting for talent. And so if you have that same mentality, I think you're going to come up a lot more successful because you're not just looking for the first person that shows up. You're looking for the right person that shows up that's qualified. And then you have a system around making sure that they're the right person before they even get into your business.
Yeah. So if you're running a real estate business and you're looking for clients, buyers and sellers, where's the first place, the fastest, easiest source of business?
Your database.
Yeah.
Yes. So your network, the people that you know. And that's what I was saying is like, if I'm in business with Sandy and I'm looking to grow my team, well, the first person I would go to probably is Sandy and say, hey, Sandy, who do you know that should be part of my team?
Yeah, for sure.
And if he's like, well, I don't know anyone, but maybe ask Cynthia. And then I go ask Cynthia and I do the same thing, or I cast a big message out to my social media. I know every single time I posted on my story, hey, looking for talent, whatever jobs we have available, I always get some sort of response back.
Which is the same thing as posting an ad for, hey, I've got this listing for sale. Anyone want to buy it? Or, hey, I've got a buyer. We're looking for this type of property. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same.
Same concept.
Same concept, yeah.
Same concept. And I feel like people look at hiring as daunting, like they don't want to get into business with people. What I find very often when I'm talking to realtors is, I don't want to grow my team. I don't want to spend time with people or like... what do they typically say? They just say, I don't want to babysit people.
Yeah, babysit, yeah.
What that means to me is that you're not finding talent. If you found talent, you wouldn't have to babysit people. And so if you've had trouble hiring in the past and you feel like you're babysitting, that just means you don't have a great hiring system or a great hiring process to be in business with people you don't need to babysit.
You have to look to yourself internally first and foremost. If that's the messaging that you're coming up with out of yourself, it's because inside yourself, you don't know what your vision is. Your belief system around what your business is not strong. Mm-hmm. You're believing that you don't have much to offer, that you don't have a clear vision, and it's all because you haven't spent time on this. You haven't invested yourself into your vision and setting up something clear and exciting. And if you had a really exciting vision for what you were doing, and it was just in your own mind, and you had a really exciting, but it was clear and you knew where you were going, then you would feel compelled to go get other people enrolled in the process to come on that journey with you to help get you there faster, easier, more fun, etc. Right? So that's what I always, that's I think the root of it, is that they have not spent the time themselves in getting themselves bought into their vision. So of course, why would you, it's like selling anything in life. If you don't believe in it yourself first, then nobody's ever gonna believe in it.
You have to believe in it way more than anybody else.
Yeah, right? But the second you convince yourself and you're all in on what you're doing, the people are going to just start to show up. You're not even going to know where they're coming from. They're going to come from everywhere because It's going to show up in the content you do. It's going to show up in your little conversations day to day with your database, your sphere, etc. Mm-hmm. That's how you attract people. You've got a strong belief in something that you've bought in yourself. And so that's the first ingredient that you have to spend some time on.
I feel like all of our episodes end up coming back to work on yourself, work on yourself. But it's true. Like you need to have that clarity first. I love John Maxwell. We're listening to one of his books right now, but I wanted to go back to one of the 16 Laws of Communication, I think is the book. Mm. And in there he says, even in his own vision around how he built his organizations, his coaching, speaking, everything that he's built, he always comes back to asking people to be in business. So not just like saying, hey, do you want to be on my team? But like telling them, I need you. I need you to work with me. I need to create this. I need to build all of these leaders. And by appealing to people's energy and saying, hey, not just like I want you on my team, but I need you. You can attract the right people through just how you talk about it and how you share that messaging too.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great book. New book. It's a new Max one. Maybe his newest.
Yeah, I think it's his newest. Which one are we reading now? The Five Levels of Leadership. Mm. That one's a great one too.
That one's a classic.
Mm-hmm. So you're recruiting people. You're finding them. We've brought up in a previous episode just like around the actual hiring process, but I think that's such an understated thing to not just Google best interview questions or find, you know, 20 questions that a previous colleague has actually used, but having a great system for finding that person and then making sure that they're the right fit. Do you find that like sometimes when you get into interviews, we both do a lot of interviews, people will show up the way that they think you want them to?
100%. They can easily fake that for at least once. They can fake it.
At least once. But if you have a solid process, you can easily pinpoint whether, you know, they're true, they're authentic, or they're mm-hmm. just trying to play up or create a character that they believe that you want them to be. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love the missing persons report, and I'll get our assistant to link it in the bio so that somebody that you can download it. But the missing persons report is, first of all, like creating an ideal avatar of who you want to be in business with. So what are their characteristics? What are their values? How do they show up? What kind of skills do they possess? What kind of systems do they know? And then from there, as you're starting to look and talk to people, now you can start pinpointing, okay, this is exactly who I was looking for. No, this is not what I was looking for. And then utilizing some sort of personality assessment too, like the DISC or the KPA. There's tons of them out there. But utilizing some of those tools to also make sure you're in conversation with the right individuals, making sure that you understand how people work and who they are and what their behaviors are, so that you avoid that weird dating period of getting into business with someone. So you don't get into business with them and then find out too late that they weren't the right fit.
And that's why like onboarding and that process is important too, though. So you can actually exit quick if you do end up in the wrong partnership or wrong hire there. Mm-hmm. What we've done on our salesperson side on the team now, when we hire new salespeople, is they go through a process. So we charge $1,000 onboarding fee when someone joins our team, because we find it tends to weed out the unserious people, and we don't really want to be in business with people that can't afford that, because if they are super super strapped for cash and they're gonna, like, even if you sell a house today, the odds of it closing, you know, as soon as it's going to close is like 30, 45 days from now.
Yeah.
So, and then you're going to wait another week to 2 weeks to get paid. So mm-hmm. the extreme urgency that they need money is a little bit dangerous, we've found. It's great to be motivated by money, but have that extreme urgency and they can't quite come up with, you know, $1,000 at the start is a good way to weed people out. It also shows us if they're resourceful or not, mm-hmm. because if they maybe don't have $1,000, but they really want to find a way to be on our team, then they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out for sure.
Line of credit, credit cards, borrow, whatever. And that's a great little way to weed out some people that are unserious.
Also, I find it helps weed out the people that maybe have scarcity mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you said, if they really wanted to be on the team, whether they have the resources or not, they're going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And like, they're hard costs when someone joins our team. So that's where we utilize those funds, is to go towards things like they're going to start business getting cards. Business cards and headshots, and we're going to need to probably order more signs or lockboxes, all these little things. Mm-hmm. We have to onboard them into our tech platform, which is pay-per-user type thing typically. So there's mm-hmm. costs that are related to this. And what we also do though, in the first, before they we just started doing this in the last few hires that we've made, but in the first week, they don't pay us yet. They get to onboard with us for a week. They don't get to tap into all our systems yet, but they get to come basically spend the week with us. And in that week, they need to show us, they need to prove that they're worthy of being on the team by making and proving to us that they've made 200 contacts. Mm-hmm. Not like cold, random contacts. They need to come up with people in their network that they can go talk to, and they need to show us that they've made those contacts and upload them into our database. And if they do that, they've kind of earned the right to pay the $1,000, and then we progress onward as, you know, a typical team partnership. That process has worked really well because it's helped us weed out some people that aren't going to hang around longer.
Well, it's going to weed out the non-talent versus the talent, right?
Mm-hmm. Because really, 200 people is not that much.
It's not. What is that, 50 people a day that you have to speak with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, it depends on how
if they do 5 days versus 7 days, yeah.
Yeah. Not even 50, 40.
40, okay.
40 people a day. So they don't have to have a phone conversation necessarily with them. It could be a text or a direct message or something. They need to proactively reach out and connect with those people. And for the most part, it's telling them they're brand new in real estate and they're all excited about it, or they just joined this team and they're excited to be a part of it. Here's why they're reaching out. Can I send you a business card in the mail? Can I, send
drop
you some information, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we just find if you can't come up with a list like that to contact, then you're probably not the most resourceful person. It's probably not going to work out with us long term.
I think too, it's just another barrier to entry. So I think the more barriers to entry that you put, you'll be able to narrow down the playing field of who you actually get into business with.
Yeah.
So like for us, from the brokerage perspective, our barriers to entry include like doing our KPA and then going through our full interview process. Maybe it's like sitting in front of our team and then having our group interview as well. And again, the more barriers to entry that you can put, the more that they show up and break through those barriers, the more that you'll realize, okay, yeah, this person is worth being in business with. Or if they're not showing up, they're not doing the follow through or the follow up, then you realize, okay, that's not who I want to be in business with.
Totally. You definitely want to see them multiple times in various circumstances, in a group setting, one-on-one, depending on what you're hiring for. We've done like, let's go for lunch or dinner or coffee or something and get them in a public environment.
Yeah.
See how they interact with servers, other staff members, people like that. Are they like a generally grateful person? Are they a bit like, you know, what are their...
Are they humble?
Yeah.
Well, I guess this comes back to the whole humble, hungry, smart
principle.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so now we've recruited this person and they're on our team. I think obviously the biggest thing is around the retention side. So how do we actually now keep them and help them grow their business and encourage them to develop within the world that we've created?
Well, some of the things that a really quality, like a talent person is going to want are the things that you should be providing all the time, which is clear accountability, clear metrics, like how do they know if they're achieving or not. If you don't have any sort of scoreboard, then a talented person is going to be like, what the hell, I don't know if I can't. They want to kind of compete in a lot of ways, whether it's with themselves or with the group. So they want to see how they're measuring up.
Mm-hmm.
A really talented person in like elementary school can't wait for report card day. They can't wait for the test results to come back. They're excited because they know they're nailing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one who's on the edge or failing or B, C, D level player, they're like, oh my God, I don't want to take this home to my parents.
They're the ones crumpling it up and stuffing it in the bottom.
They hate
of their
accountability.
Bag.
They hate metrics. They hate scoreboards. This is the exact same thing in business, right? You want the people that are craving that accountability, craving the metrics.
It's very much like a sports type mentality. Like they want to see the numbers on the board.
Yeah, they love it because they know they're going to crush it. So those things are important. What type of scoreboards do you have and metrics to show? What type of accountability systems do you have in place? Because they're going to want some accountability and they're going to want coaching around that, how they can do better.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to probably
crave training and
yeah, they're going to crave that. So, you got to provide that provide that every single week, ongoing, forever.
Yeah.
And prove to them that you're there to help them and showing up and wanting to help them and serve them.
And giving them the tools to do that.
That's a really broad overview of what it generally should look like, but all those things have to be there if you want to retain someone quality. If you want to retain someone average and C-level player, sure, you don't need any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're gonna have a lot more challenges, you're gonna have a lot less production, you're gonna have a lot less success, because obviously you have a C-level person and Yeah. Usually that's a reflection of you ultimately. Usually it's a reflection of how you're showing up, if you're attracting those types of people.
I think it's also leading by example, or like, you know, if you're making promises and you're saying, you know, we're going to provide you this, and that's how you're recruiting them, you're giving them your list of value propositions, is like just sticking to your word and showing up that you're going to do what you set out to do when you first got into business with them, or before you even got into business with them. I think way too often I get into conversation with someone and they say, oh, this person promised me this and it didn't work out, and that's why I'm leaving the team or I'm leaving that brokerage. So it goes to show, like, you're not going to retain people if you don't show up or, you know, stay true to whatever you commit to doing with those individuals.
I first learned this when I was, I've done a lot of investment deals and stuff, and I was back early on, when I had very little money to buy investment properties, I was looking to come up with a way to attract money to buy investment properties with partners. Mm-hmm. And the first thing, I took a really great course at the time, and it taught me to go create a document of how, of the value I would be offering to someone coming in to work with me in that sort of arrangement. So they would be investing money into a property with me, but they would be putting the majority of the money. So why would they want to do that? What mm-hmm. kind of value would I offer that they're excited to give us money as an investment together? And it's the same concept here. So what I did in that, I built out a 20 plus page report around why this area made sense, why I was the right person, why my relationships were going to help serve us in this process, what our exit strategy was, what our, like why now is a good time versus waiting, all these different questions that I answered. The same thing in this. If you're attracting someone for a role of some sort and you don't know what your value proposition is, then it's going to be very hard to deliver a good value proposition once they're on board. Mm-hmm. But if you're really clear about what it is and you really think through it and go, like, can I really deliver on this, and how are you going to deliver it? That's really it's not really chicken and egg. It's the thing that's needed prior to the person showing up. And if you have that and you attract them to that, and you can, it just becomes delivering on that. Mm-hmm. And if you attract someone to that and you don't deliver on it, then that's never going to be something that works long term.
Which is why we talk about hiring operational talent first, administrative talent first, building your hub, and then hiring realtors that you can provide great services to. If you start the opposite way, it's going to be very hard to retain those individuals, because if we're searching for talent and finding talent, those talented individuals are going to want high level support and high level services. Mm-hmm. And if you're not providing that, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you can just ask yourself, right? Would I join this? If you put that whole thing together, the whole value proposition package together, and you just look at it and go, what in this would attract me? Would I be attracted to this, or why wouldn't I be attracted to this? What can I add and change in it? And then, how am I going to deliver this? Do I have the people around me to help deliver on this? Mm-hmm. Often, you need to have a administrative talent person in your role, in your world, to help deliver on that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. So lastly, before we jump off today, around the training and development side, obviously that's something that you and I are both super passionate about. If you're not learning and growing, you're dying. And I find when looking for talent, you wanna also look for people that are learning-based. So people that have, you know, a track record of whether it's reading, listening to podcasts, or that enjoy consuming content that's gonna help them grow as an individual. But how do you help continue to train individuals once they get into the team? What are some of the metrics that you guys put in place around training, education, mm-hmm. both that the team provides versus that the agent is responsible for doing on their own?
Well, I think the great people are gonna like ask for that often, I find, mm-hmm. anyways. And so if they're not asking for it, they might not be about that, which is probably a red flag. A way to provide that is your constant, some sort of weekly sessions that you can provide. In the Keller Williams environment, there's just hundreds of different opportunities around training. Mm-hmm. But I think it also would serve most teams very well to at least deliver one sort of formalized training session at bare minimum per month, where there's either training on like something that's not offered there in the general realtor community, or something that's a little more specific to yourself and your team. So that could be in a team meeting, for example, that you're going to host every month, providing a 20-minute session where you maybe bring someone in from the outside vendor, or you bring some sort of content in that's from you and yourself and you're creating. Mm-hmm. The best version of any of that is creating proprietary in-house training, which is a little more on the advanced side, but if you can start creating and working towards that, that becomes something that is only available with you, right? It's not available anywhere else. It's only available on the team. And that could be in the form of like personal growth type concepts that you believe in. It could be
sales systems,
yeah, sales
scripting systems.
Scripting. There's lots of versions of that.
So
whatever
many
you
want to,
whatever you feel you're, you know, valuable in and excited about sharing. That's the best way to do it. I find early on, you know, you're in a small group, you're going to have lots of like off the cuff type moments like that, but it still pays to have a once a week like formalized team meeting where you're going to have the opportunity to talk about what's happening in your business that week, but also have that moment to pour into the whole group collectively and share something that you're learning probably and just share that within the team.
Yeah.
And that's really simple to do in a, you know, weekly formalized team meeting. That's something we do every week. We have a Monday morning kickoff meeting, and we do that at the brokerage and our team levels. And there's always time in there to
learn together.
Learn together. To give gratitude usually is a starting point. Then learn together. Talk about what's happening through the week, sure, but that's just like the semantics. It's really about the opportunity to train and lead and motivate the group.
Yeah. For us, like, I love having our regular book club. We just pick a book, we vote on it, and then every single Monday we're talking about what we're learning in that book together. And typically we're picking books that are of the moment, so something that we're facing, a challenge that we are trying to get through, or something that we all want to learn about more. So it really helps to do it in a systematic format. It also trains us to consume and learn so that we're not just stagnant or complacent.
Yeah, I find often, you know, it's going to be the speed of the leader, speed of the pack too. So if you're, I often, on our team level, we do a lot of podcasts lately. And when we go into the podcast conversation and we talk about what we learned last week, I'm like, I've usually listened to it like 5 times by the time we've shown up there. And sometimes they've listened to it a bunch too. Sometimes they're listening to it last minute. But I like to, I've at a point in my life now where I'm kind of done with listening to thousands of different things. I want to find one or two things that I definitely believe in and just re-listen to them over and over again. Because you could have two people you really respect sharing on the same topic and they're polar opposite
100%.
Opinions. It gets pretty confusing. And there's so much content out there right now. So it's just, I find it a lot more beneficial to decide which one I'm going to believe in and just really hone in on that one. And so that's why I'll listen to these shows, podcast, books, like
multiple
4 or 5 times, even in a week. And so by the time you show up to those meetings, you're like, I really am living this topic. It's speed of the leader, speed of the pack. So if you show up and you've really consumed it and you're prepared and you're ready for those meetings as a leader, those are really important opportunities
to teach
and grow and show that you know what this is all about. And everyone else is going to feel that or see it directly in, you know, your preparation, and they're going to see how valuable that is.
They're also going to be motivated to now kind of follow in the footsteps of that rather than just, like you said, listening to it last minute or maybe not even listening to it at all or taking advantage of it. Yeah, I love it. Well, I think we've had lots of stuff to say today, and hopefully that helped you just think about the hiring process, think about how you're going to find talent, and then getting them into your world. Any final thoughts or comments?
Well, I was speaking at something last night we talked about, and we started with this, so maybe I'll just circle back on the importance of it, is you kind of joked about it, but everything comes back to a belief that you have in your head of something. Everything that's your, any hurdle you have or something, you're stuck in a belief system of some sort. Everything that's showing up in your life is because of something you've done previously to deserve that. And it's usually there's a belief system that you have that you're going back to.
Yeah.
And so if you want to attract great people, you want to do anything that we've talked about here in this conversation, if you're finding any of this, you've tried it, it's a challenge, there's something back at the beginning of this where you need to go audit your belief system.
Something that's blocking you.
And that's why when we go to, you know, what is the, I forget the acronym, but your thoughts lead to your habits, or your beliefs lead to your thoughts, lead to your habits, lead to your results, lead to your outcomes, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not your outcome, it's not the have to be, right? It's the be to have. So your being, whatever you're about, your beliefs are resulting in everything showing up in your life. So you got to go back to that beginning part. Start to really make a big dent in this and change any of this substantially, you're going to have to do some hard work and go really back to the root of the problem or the challenge, mm-hmm. and not put the Band-Aids on, but actually fix the real root.
Yeah.
That's, I think, a big thing to do, but that's how you really, really take this to the next level.
Yeah. And I think if you're really intentional about it too, the results will show up quickly. You don't have to really wait for that. You'll show them, like, they'll show up in what you're doing, the results that you get, and then eventually in the people that you attract.
Totally. Yeah. And people, one last thing.
Yes.
People, great people, compound the exact same way that money compounds. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, because I've always understood, not always, but for a long time, I've understood how finances compound. So you invest in something, it compounds over time. It doesn't go up like incrementally. It goes up exponentially. Mm-hmm. Great people, having great talented people in your business is the exact same. Over time, you develop one great person, that leads to 3, leads to 6, leads to 12, leads to 100, exponential growth from a people leadership perspective, which is like, it starts out slow and then it just goes to the roof.
100%. Well, that's a great note to end off on. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Team Building Show for Canadians. Hope you enjoy it and find valuable information that helps you to start building your future today. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, comment, and give a like to the show. Remember, you can listen to it anytime on Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube.